I am Dr. Jessica Brannon Ranosky. I'm the Distinguished Professor of Digital Humanities and History at Texas A&M University Commerce. One of my major areas of specialization is women gaining the right to vote. Texas is one of the few states that provided women the right to vote only in political party primaries to have the right to vote in 1918. It was not official state law, but it was official party practice for the county clerks to segregate based on race who could vote in the primary. They had 2 weeks to register women across the state of Texas. It's extraordinary. You know, before social media, before emails, before telephones, they're registering hundreds of thousands of women across the state of Texas. But while the design was to only provide white women with the right to vote, or at least the intent, the outcome is very different. We know that women in Houston, women in El Paso, women in Austin, women in San Antonio, we know for a fact women in Orange, we know that they're going to register to vote because the newspapers are covering them either being turned away, women in Kingsville were turned away, or the stories of these suffragists later. These women of color who very much are invested in women gaining the right to vote, who support women gaining the right to vote, in most cases, who were not able to join these national suffrage organizations or even the state suffrage organizations because they're segregated. Let me give you an example of how we find women of color in the documents, in the records, and how we find their stories. So Maud Sampson is a teacher in El Paso. She's an African-American woman. She's originally from Austin. And in 1918, she writes a letter to the National American Woman Suffrage Association. So it's NASA. And she says, I have this suffrage organization, and we would like to become members of your organization. There's communication back and forth with the national suffragists, including Carrie Chapman Catt, who is the national president, and with Minnie Fisher Cunningham and others, because they're basically freaking out. Organizations for women of color could not affiliate with the national organization, and this letter becomes part of these archives that are usually very much about white women. So for a long time, decades, historians talked about these letters, but could not find who she was. Fortunately, there was a newspaper in El Paso that is a white-owned newspaper, and it was covering the NAACP with this digital age, searching in the newspapers, found her. She's the vice president of that NAACP. The local chapter of the NAACP in El Paso is the first NAACP chapter in the state. For her to be a vice president, not only of an NAACP chapter that early, but to do it in a very, very important state for especially Supreme Court cases, is essential to the story. It tells us who she is as a suffragist. Eventually, she remarries. She becomes Maud Williams. One of the things that she's most known for, but we didn't know it was the same person because women's history and name changes happen that way, is that she goes with a young woman named Thelma White in the fall of 1954 to go register at Texas Western University, knowing that she's going to be turned away. And so you see this woman suffragist in 1918 who's told, no, you can't affiliate with this, who doesn't walk away from it. We still have her active almost 40 years after that. The other major population, especially within Texas history, where we talk about women's history at that time for voting in any way, is Latinas. Very, very, very few suffragist histories nationwide exist about Latinas. But there's one particular person that we do have records of. Aviridad was a journalist in Texas, and her family owns a newspaper in South Texas, La Cronica. Was her father's newspaper, and her brothers also write for it. She was a supporter of the Mexican Revolution. She is one of the founders of La Blanca Cruz. It was like the Red Cross for the Mexican Revolution. and she's a journalist, and we have copies of those newspapers. And she and her brothers are writing pro-suffrage pieces. And these newspaper articles being pro-suffrage mean that they're suffragists. And that's what has not been communicated, because the public memory of suffrage is often very much white women. It's very much Susan B. Anthony. When we look at the history of suffrage and we recognize that the state affiliates to the National Organization are segregated, and we make an active choice not to support that segregation with our research and with the stories that we tell, then we stop defining suffragists as a member of an organization, and we start defining suffragists as women and men who wanted women to have the vote.